ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud. With the third pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Joe George behind the glass, the assistant to the regional manager. And it is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And yesterday, Joel,
yes,
an organization that has won 11 games in the last 3 years, that has been incompetent over the years, whether it was allowing Bill O'Brien to be the general manager, whether it was empowering a team chaplain to eventually be a general manager, if it was, you know, the team that hired David Culley, the team that hired Lovie Smith, an incompetent organization showed yet again they are incompetent.
I don't disagree, Jeremy, and Joe and I were talking about it this morning. We were going to be the most negative show on the station, but I guess that's because we're going to be honest, because I think that the best way to sum it up, in my opinion, is, and people, of course, that it's just amazing what the fandemonium does to folks when moves like this are made. They immediately, if you don't go along with their euphoria and their emotion, then they want to hate on you. But I'm with you in the fact that, look, I applaud the fact that they took a swing for the fence and they tried to do something, but there's so many different ways that they did wrong in doing it. And the biggest one to me was, you gave up your own pick. The misconception that is boggling my mind that's all over social media is that now, because of these moves, this is a borderline playoff team that's going to finish second in the division and is going to be remarkably better than it was a year before. And their pick's not going to have the kind of value that I saw and I think you saw, and what this pick was that you gave away. And that's what's boggling my mind. Like, people get so caught up in the euphoria of positivity and getting the number 2 and 3 pick in the draft that they lose sight of what it took to get there and how that can kind of derail the whole rebuild.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts here. So,
me too. So
many,
so let's
thoughts.
Go.
I think that you started with one of the angles that I you know, wanted to talk about at some point. Look, we want to be completely transparent. We don't have a single thing on our rundown today.
Nope.
Like, it's Texans draft. We have some, like, angles that we want to go down. We're going to go down them. We have no plan. So we want to hear from you, Houston, too. Look, I understand. Like, I have a pretty good pulse of the city. A lot of times I disagree with the pulse of the city. Like, right now, this, and a lot of people pander to popularity, if we're being completely honest with you. I saw people that had been bashing on the Texans for a decade that are trying to hop onto the bandwagon yesterday. It made me sick, to be quite honest with you. Like, we're never going to pander for popularity.
Nope.
And I know that today, right now, like, this is, like, to me, an errance of the grievances, because, quite frankly, I want to talk about this for the next 3 hours, and then I want to move on and hope the Texans get good. If I'm being completely honest with you, that I'm dead wrong, and that C.J. Stroud is going to be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, Will Anderson's going to be the next Watt brother, like some people are calling him. I hope all of that stuff happens. Texans win 10 games. We never worry about the Houston Texans 2024 first-round pick. I want that to happen. I really do. A lot of people in the city thinks it's going to happen after what happened yesterday in the draft. And that's the first thing that I want to get to, is, like, I've seen a lot of homerism with this pick. And look, I get the excitement. Mm-hmm. I really do. This is the first time we've had excitement in the Houston Texans organization, probably since Deshaun Watson was winning a playoff game. And that was how long ago? So I get it. Like, I understand the excitement. You've been craving excitement. You've been craving a moment like this. So I get it. But that excitement is blinding you for some hard truths that a lot of people in this city do not want to realize at this point. Because some of that homerism, Blankers, I've already seen people call C.J. Stroud a franchise quarterback.
Oh, my God.
We hope he's a franchise quarterback. He hasn't played a darn snap yet in the NFL. We have no idea if he's going to be a franchise quarterback. I've seen people call Will Anderson the next Watt brother. We have no idea what Will Anderson's going to be in the NFL. I hope he is the next Watt brother. I hope Stroud is the next franchise quarterback. But to jump to that conclusion immediately is reeking on homerism. The other thing is the win total. Because you brought up the Houston 2024 first-round pick that, for some reason, Nick Caserio just willy-nillied into this draft, which is a contradiction to the whole plan of what the Houston Texans are doing. Like, I've defended Nick Caserio on the, you know, this is a rebuild. This is a five-year plan. Don't rob the future for the now. Like, I understand what Caserio's doing. I understand it's hard to realize this in the moment, but this is what's going on with Nick Caserio. And then this dude traded for, you know, Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, whoever they traded for. I've seen people try to spin zone it. Well, this is really a trade for C.J. Stroud, even though they drafted C.J. Stroud and traded for Will Anderson. However you want to spin zone it, whatever. They draft a rookie quarterback who's going to play immediately. It is very difficult to win football games in the NFL with a rookie quarterback. So they do that on one side of their mouth, and then on the other side of their mouth, they trade their own first-rounder next year that I still think is going to be at least a top-10 pick.
I think it's going to be top-5, Jeremy, and that's what really bothers me is the fact that everybody thinks overnight by the first round of the draft that suddenly this roster was overhauled and retooled enough to where it wasn't going into the draft last night the worst roster in the NFL. And that's ludicrous. I'll give you maybe one of the worst three, but it's still one of the worst three rosters in the NFL, no matter what they did yesterday. And then they also gave up assets and draft capital that are resources. People lost their mind when I said, you're giving up Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, or something else that's so valuable. They're like, well, why do you need those quarterbacks if you got... Look, if C.J. Stroud shows you in a year enough that you realize he's your guy, now you could add his favorite receiver at Ohio State and you could be a better football team. Yeah. If you don't need a quarterback, you saw what the Bears were able to get when they didn't need a quarterback. And
What year was Fields this past year?
What?
What year was Justin Fields this past year for the
second
Bears?
Or third? Right? Second.
How difficult it is to win for a young quarterback in the NFL. What did Trevor Lawrence do his rookie year? What did Peyton Manning do his
rookie
year?
CJ
Stroud could be good next year for a rookie and you win 4 games.
Yeah, and so my thing is, this pick, to me, all the signs are they're going to go through another year of hard knocks and going to be one of the worst 5 teams in the league. You tell me you don't want Marvin Harrison Jr. or the possibility if the top 2 teams want quarterback and you're at 3, that you don't want to add that kind of guy to help C.J. Stroud. You're telling me that you don't like the idea of saying, hey, as this rebuild continues, if we do indeed have our quarterback and everybody wants your pick because it's one of the 2 quarterbacks, or maybe it's the top pick in the entire draft, that you wouldn't like the chance to get that haul of draft capital and assets and maybe a starting player or two in exchange for that type of pick, and you're not telling me there's enough value there that I shouldn't be saying these things? Come on, man. Miss me with all of that, because it's fair to have both things, the excitement of them finally trying to do something and the disappointment that what they gave up to do something I think is going to hurt them in the long. And I'm like you. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't like the way it looks.
Blankers, like, we had this conversation yesterday. Daniel Jeremiah predicted this to happen. Daniel
That's right.
Jeremiah called this. So whatever DJ says, as Joe George likes to call them, they're tight, they're boys. I'm forever going to believe Daniel Jeremiah. I think he is the dude when it comes to NFL draft
coverage.
He
truly nailed it.
Like, he nailed this, which was unbelievable. But because he mentioned the proposal. Like, he mocked this in his final mock draft. He said this is the proposed trade with the Houston Texans trading up to number 3. So we discussed this. Like, is this something we want to do? Daniel Jeremiah's mock had the Texans trading from 12 to number 3 to select Will Anderson. But in his mock, his proposal was the 12th pick of the NFL draft, the 33rd pick of the NFL draft, a third rounder, and I think a future third rounder. So you gave up basically a first, second, third this year, and then a third next year. And we were playing, like, this is the hard question that people don't like to talk about. And they don't ask themselves whenever they're trying to, like, grade a trade. Because we were talking about it yesterday. Okay, would you rather have Will Anderson at 3, or would you rather have Lucas Van Ness or Nolan Smith at 12? Would you rather have one of these really good center prospects at 33 because you don't have a starting caliber center on this team right now that's supposed to be helping out a rookie quarterback now? And then, you know, your favorite wide receiver in the third round. Like, I mentioned Tank Dell because I love Tank Dell. Go Cougs. Like, which of those scenarios would you rather have? We were talking about that yesterday. You and I were, you know, on the same page. We wouldn't do it. I believe Joe George said he did. But now this throws an extra wrinkle into it because now it's no longer that third round receiver. So you have to ask yourself, and look, this is ultimately what's going to win or lose the trade, is that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, both of them, because you couldn't make the decision between the two and you had to trade up and egregiously overspend and get ripped off and fleeced by trading up to 3 because you couldn't decide between one or the other. So both of those guys, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, have to be better than whatever you could have gotten at 12, 33, and next year's first. And that could very likely be Lucas Van Ness or Nolan Smith. A center prospect in the second round that's on the board whenever the Cardinals are picking at 33, you're no longer picking at 33. And then depending on how bad you are next year, like your win total next year all of a sudden is very important. Because if they go in the route that you said, where it could be a top five pick, they go 5-12, and then all of a sudden Arizona has the third pick of the draft and you don't because you made this trade, and now you miss out on Marvin Harrison Jr. So, like, you have to ask yourself that. Would you rather have Will Anderson? Would you rather have Lucas Van Ness or Nolan Smith, one of these center prospects, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. next year? Now, the win total for the Texans matters here, because if the Texans win 9 games, okay, now you're picking in the last half of the first round. We just don't think that's realistic, and a lot of homers that you're seeing, you know, on Twitter are acting like this is a team that's suddenly going to win 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, that's the thing that got me. Then I was caught up in my feels. Then I was too emotional. No, it just, I didn't agree with everything you had to say. I keep saying, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they did the right thing. I think that part of the reason why I'm upset is because I think you could have given up that Browns pick and you could have played possum with them back and forth, and you probably would have gotten the same deal and still held on to the most valuable pick that you have next year. Whether you keep it, trade it, use it on a quarterback, use it on a wide receiver, do whatever, but you would control the top half of the draft again. Because the unrealistic approach is also that suddenly within two players, you are now a unbelievably better team. You don't have a bad roster. You are going to be borderline playoffs, second in the division, and turn it around overnight. Your general manager spoke about your new quarterback that you just drafted, and it wasn't like overwhelming, gushing, franchise quarterback type stuff. It was more like he's got a lot of work to do. He'll admit that, but we got the guy. Okay, so forgive me, and I'm completely tongue-in-cheek because I'm not apologizing for any of this, no matter how much Texans fans want me to. The fact is, I applaud the fact that they went for it. They made some moves that excited people. But I don't like what they gave up, and I don't like the fact that, you know what, like I said, I could be on Bad Take Boulevard for how passionate I've been about how much I don't like what they gave up, but I don't like what they gave up, and I think they gave up too much, and I think that you'll look, I don't want to be in this position a year from now looking back going, God, if the Texans still had their pick, think about the guys they could have gotten last night or the trades they could have made. I don't want to do that, but I don't see the roster that much better than it was before last night to say that we could afford to throw that pick away in a deal.
Vegas had the Texans win total pre-draft, and I'm sure that they don't have the post-draft yet. They'll probably wait till the end of the weekend. They had the Texans winning 5.5 games. Now, I think it will go up after you draft C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and you still have 10 picks remaining, although half of them are in the 6th or 7th round. I don't know how much it moves it. Maybe a game. Like, maybe the over-under in Vegas is 6.5. I bet it's probably 6. Because Vegas, I don't think is going to have that much of a, like, I don't think that Vegas is going to move the Texans' win total up a full game because of a rookie quarterback and a rookie defensive end. Like, they're promising players. I like both players, too. That's kind of like the, like, what's kind of bitter about this is because I'm ripping this trade because Nick Caserio got fleeced. I wanted Will Anderson at 2. Like, I wanted him to be the pick at 2. C.J. Stroud I have reservations about for a lot of reasons that we'll get to throughout the course of the show, but I still think C.J. Stroud has a chance. Like, I understand the flyer on Stroud. I understand going BPA with Will Anderson at 2. But to get fleeced by the Cardinals, fascinating. 713-780-ESPN. This is your show today, Houston. 713-780-3776. The HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's a Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Who are you bidding against, too? That's a question that I want to ask you guys. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Was yesterday one of the best days in Houston Texans history? Or is it a day that will live in infamy when we talk about the Texans history in our fine city? 713-780-ESPN. This, I mean, look, the Texans are in win now mode. You realize that?
Yeah.
The Texans went from being a rebuilding team to win now in the matter of like 10 minutes.
I started thinking about it last night. Like, maybe they, as much as they had held steadfast until the last game of the regular season, it did feel like last night they thought themselves, it's time to turn the corner. We got to put the pedal down, and they made the moves accordingly to try and do so. Now, I hope it works out for them. Look, my biggest point of contention is the fact that they gave up their own pick. If they had given up the Browns pick, I still think it was a lot to give, and you and I spoke about this yesterday on the show, and I said I was more in favor of trading down. I was not in favor of trading up because there's too many holes on the roster to fill, too many needs across the board that they needed all the draft capital that they had. But if they had just made it the Browns pick instead of the Texans pick, I think I'd have been okay with it, and I'd have been more at ease letting it play out. But the fact that you gave up what I think is a hyper-valuable pick, I don't want, just a small reminder for the Texans fans that are getting upset with us because we're being honest, the Bill O'Brien pick didn't look nearly as bad until you saw how high it was at the end of the year and knew that the Dolphins were going to be picking in a place that you should have been picking and picking players that you could have used and going, damn, that was a really bad trade. I hope we're not doing it again.
I'm gonna defend them a little bit because I think they made the right decision last night, and I like the trade.
Even with what they gave up?
Yes, they gave up a lot. But to move from 12 to 3, it's going to cost a lot. They walked out of the draft.
For a quarterback? It cost a lot.
But they were bidding against, my guess is they were bidding against a team like the Tennessee Titans.
That wanted Will Anderson?
No, that wanted Will
Levis. They took Stroud at 2. Stroud wasn't on the board at 3.
No, but they could have gone up for Levis or Richardson. They could be bidding against no one. We don't know. We're still waiting to find out. But, they went up and they got their guy. And I think their approach was also the right decision, is that by taking C.J. Stroud at 2, they knew that no one else was going to jump up and make the bidding even worse. If Stroud is sitting there at 3, now you have teams calling, and the Arizona Cardinals could have said, well, we want both of your picks next year.
But they didn't get a discount, though. They didn't get a discount. Taking C.J. Stroud at 2, we talked about this a lot, too. If you are going to trade up and make this pick, then you take the quarterback first. It's just the obvious thing. We talked about that all the time. The problem is Nick Caserio didn't get a discount because of it. C.J. Stroud going 2 is the shrewd move to try to diminish the value of what it would cost to trade up to number 3. But Nick Caserio didn't diminish the value. He still traded a quarterback's ransom for number 3.
I know.
And drafted a defensive end.
I know, but he got his guy. They think that clearly Will Anderson is a franchise player, and that's
they
where
be right. They better be right.
They better be right for sure. And in terms of an ideal world, of course, we all know it would have been better if they would have given up the Cleveland pick instead of theirs. But if you want your guy and the Cardinals make that demand, then you make the trade.
No, I hang up the phone. Honestly, I click.
Not when you
I
want
hang
them.
Up the phone.
I get it, but I think they made the right move. I like that they went all in, and I understand but, it could be a top 5 pick. But they did this in 2017.
But Joe, it's okay to say
you
like the move, but I just don't like what they gave up as part of the move. And
why?
I really realistically believe you could have flip flopped those first round picks. I'd have been fine with all of it.
But you can't. But if Arizona's demanding that it's your pick and you want to make the trade, then you have to do it.
No, I told you. You can press redial. You can hang up and let them sit on it thinking we might not get anything for this pick that we pretty much don't have shown we don't want to use at 3. Call them back and go, hey, last chance before we get out of here. Now you shift it and see if they bite. If
You're
they
right.
bite, great.
Yeah, they could have potentially given up less, but they didn't. And we don't know what the original asking price was from Arizona. Arizona could have started with both picks in 24. And then Nick Caserio could have worked him down. There's a way that they still got fleeced, for sure. And yes, next year's pick could be top 5. But they just did this in 2017. They traded a first-round pick to move up and acquire Deshaun Watson, and then they had the 4th pick in the draft the next year.
They did that when they had a much better team, though. Their team was kind of they were solid. They were a team that was already contending with for the playoffs with mm-hmm. Brock Osweiler. That was a roster that was already pretty good. So whenever they traded their future first round pick, they didn't think that they were going to be falling to the top 5 in that very next draft. They also did this with Laremy Tunsil whenever they felt like they were held over the barrel to be trading for a left tackle. And look, Laremy Tunsil's played good football for the Texans, and he just signed the second biggest contract ever. For the second time, he signed the biggest contract ever. And the Texans also missed out on a top 5 pick. So, this is very Bill O'Brien-y for the Houston Texans. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Let's go out there now for John. John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
John, go.
Hello?
John, you're on. You're... Let's go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I love the pick because I feel like, you know, I was watching Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud at the beginning of the college football season, and I knew that, you know, we have to walk away with the quarterback because I didn't feel like Mills was going to the answer. And someone made a point earlier about us trading our pick and it could be a top five pick. Now, you realize that we lost a lot of nail biters last year, and we tied with the Colts. That should have been a win for us. We barely lost to the Bears. That should have been a win. We barely lost to the Broncos. So if you factor that in, that's three extra wins, and we're out of the top eight with this pick that we had this year. We added D'Amico. We added to our defense. I don't agree with the fact that if we would have kept our pick, it'd be top five. I think we're looking at top eight. And if you're telling me, okay, this pick this year versus the pick next year, would I rather have a top eight pick next year or Will Anderson? I feel like they had to do something. They obviously like two guys. They traded a lot to get them. I feel like they had to do that.
That's fair. I mean, John, thanks for the call. Look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And as passionate as Jeremy and I are on one side of it, I saw it last night on social media. It was 50-50 or there and then some. But, you know, everybody's got their opinion, and that's all fine and dandy. And we're all going to wait to see how it pans out. And I want it to pan out for them. But I just realistically, from a rational approach to what was given for what was received and for where this roster currently sits, because to Jeremy's point and what he said about Joe's comment, the Texans were in a much better place to do a move like that last night when they were in 17 and had a better roster. This roster was so bad going in, no matter what you liked about what they did in free agency, what you liked about what they did last night, it doesn't overnight take and transform the roster to being any better than one of the worst three in the league at best. So there's a lot of draft left to get to too, but because of the fact that there were so many holes, such a depleted roster to work with or try to build on, that you couldn't afford. That was my argument yesterday. You can't afford to be giving away draft capital and assets that you could sorely use to try and really make a difference in this roster for these two guys. Now, again, I hope they got it right, but Lance even said that Will Anderson in any other draft is probably a top 10 pick. Okay, so I don't feel like you should be giving up a quarterback's ransom to get a guy that's a top 10 pick. My personal opinion. I understand you guys can disagree with me. That's fine. But I don't like it because I think they could have utilized. And Jeremy, you were the one saying, would you rather have Will Anderson in a quarterback or would you rather have this player, that player, this player? And so at this point with where the roster sits, I need as many good players as I can get.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to leave the first round with a quarterback and defensive end. I didn't want to be looking at the second day without the 33rd pick. I didn't want to be putting all of a sudden the 2024 first round pick, you know, on the table for another team to have. And I look, many people in the city are very pleased with what they got, and I get it. Look, you got C.J. Stroud. He was the popular pick at number two in this city. We did our little case studies. We did our polls. Everybody wanted C.J. Stroud to be the pick at two. And then they also get Will Anderson, the second most popular pick. So I understand the excitement. I get it. But you also have many people talk about the top of this draft saying it's one of the more weaker top of the drafts in recent memory. You brought up Lance saying that Will Anderson would be like a top, you know, somewhere picked around the 10th pick,
yep,
not necessarily like the number one defensive end off a draft board in most years. So this is a draft that was not top heavy, yet you still paid a quarterback's ransom to trade up to number three after you already took that quarterback. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line for Gary. Gary, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I agree with you all. I've been saying Nick Caserio should have been fired for over a year now. This is just more evidence. We just gave up too much for a prospect that's not a generational prospect. And all of the reporting says that we liked Bryce Young over Stroud. So why not give up those picks to get the quarterback you actually wanted instead of going with C.J. Stroud, who's your second choice, and then giving up a ransom for a freaking defensive end? Like, it's, to me, I mean, it's, I'm not surprised because Nick Caserio does Nick Caserio things, but I want him as far away from this football team as humanly possible. The sooner it happens, the better. Like, just not a good thing. Like, being generous, there's eight positions on this team we feel good about. There's 14 holes. and we just traded three premium picks for a freaking defensive end. So not happy about it at all. I agree with you guys. I hope they're good, but that's not going to address the other glaring holes that we have on this team.
That's the other thing, Blankers. Like, if you were a team that was a couple pieces away, maybe you were in playoff contention last year, maybe you're Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's not the best case here because they have Lawrence, but you're right there on the cusp, right? Like, you're on the brink of being a playoff team. You already have a lot of depth. You already have, you know, some really good starters, but this team still doesn't have tons of foundational pieces. Like, we can throw Stroud in there. You're hoping that he's a foundational piece. Damian Pierce, you're hoping he's still a foundational piece. Mechie, like, we haven't seen him play a snap in the NFL, but you're hoping he's a foundational piece. And then there's several dudes on the offensive line that you would throw into that mix. And then defensively, Harris, Stingley, Petrie. Now you're adding in Will Anderson as well. Look, maybe you have the makings of a pretty good nucleus, a pretty good core, but that's a very young core that's still a couple of years away that still needs filling in around the roster.
Yeah, that's what worries me the most. Like, again, I understand the excitement, and I love the fact that fans are excited again about this team because they were so like kryptonited away from this entire organization to say, I would rather watch paint dry than watch the Texans and support them and spend my money on tickets and gear. I love the fact that there's a newfound excitement back in this city because of what they attempted to do. I just don't love what they gave up to do it because, like you, I believe that this has been progressing, this embrace the suck rebuild, getting to the point where they're ready to take the next step. It's going in the right direction, but this is the kind of thing that can derail it and set it back. I'm concerned that that pick had too much value. Other than that, like I said, over and over again, I'm fine with the fact that they swung for the fences. I'm fine with the other elements that they were giving up to an extent. I just am not fine with how valuable that pick could be again next season because I don't think they're going to be there yet, and that's what concerns me, and I hope to God I'm wrong.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texans win yesterday. Did the Texans lose yesterday? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? So I was very happy with the third pick trade up until, say, about 2 minutes later when we kind of got the details of the trade. It just seems like the Cardinals just have the Texas number. They fleeced us again. I saw somewhere where it said that the trade was finalized with a minute and a half left. So, I don't know, maybe take an extra 30 seconds to get a better deal. And for some reason, I just cannot see how we could give up so much. And then, you know, there's talent on the Cardinals roster that they're trying to get rid of. You know, maybe pick up D-Hop, keep one of those picks, you know. And we have a ton of cap space, you know, eat the cost of, you know, letting go of D-Hop or, you know, just figuring out some way to kind of work around it. But it just seems like the Cardinals got us again, and it's just hopefully it's not a running thing. And, you know, I was disappointed with Nick because I agree with you. We're looking for just the long haul and, you know, just shooting up an extra year to try to start the rebuilding process a little early, you're just going to shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, the pick will be too valuable. Look what happened with the Tulsa pick. We gave up the third, and Miami parlayed that for, I think, like additional three first-round picks that they turned into Tyreek Hill and, you know, some other players. So that's my take. I'm going to hang up then. Thanks, guys.
Chris, thanks for the call. Look, we always appreciate you listening. And look, that's the bottom line. I mean, that's kind of more where I'm coming from. That I loved the trade until, and I was out there even tweeting saying, but this has to be the Browns pick next year, right? And then when I found out it wasn't, that's when it hit me that I had some real concerns because I see some real value in the pick they gave up. But again, I'm going to keep stressing. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do what a lot of these red Kool-Aid and red and blue Kool-Aid drinking Texans fans think when their excitement hit, that this is now suddenly the second best team in the division, a borderline playoff team. They might be good for 6 or 7 wins. I don't see it. I hope I'm wrong, but anything's possible, so we won't know until we know. But you definitely have enough on the table that gives you more interest in watching this team. And if you're a Texans fan, you should be excited that they swung for the fences.
How would you guys feel if that, you know, I know you both have kind of the same stance here on the not liking giving up that pick next year. But what if Will Anderson's great this year, right away? Rookie of the year, caliber player, but they still only have 4 wins. So it is a top 5 pick.
Yeah, they screwed up. That's a loss.
I think they screwed up too.
Why? But if you have a franchise cornerstone player, like if he's great, but you don't win this year,
the
like,
only
isn't
way,
it
the,
still
this,
worth it?
This trade is always going to be, the judgment of this trade is always going to be this. C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson have to be better than whatever you would have gotten at 12, whatever you would have gotten at 33, and whatever you would have gotten
next
with that
year.
First pick next year. If the Texans win 9 games and it's a 17th pick and it's just a mediocre first rounder, I've changed my mind. Nick Caserio outflanked me. He was smart. I was dumb. I would tip my cap, say I was wrong if that were to happen. But right now, like, this is how I see it happening, to be completely honest with you. I think C.J. Stroud has a chance to be a really good quarterback. I know I was not very, like, I did not want C.J. Stroud, let's be very clear. But I also think C.J. Stroud has a chance. Like, there's some things that C.J. Stroud does very nicely. He throws a really good ball. He's got a strong arm, can throw it to every inch of the field, and he's got incredible accuracy. The 3 things that I'm out on C.J. Stroud that worry me about C.J. Stroud is, quite frankly, the S2 test. That is something that concerns me. Good quarterbacks have done well. Bad quarterbacks have not. The other thing is the fact that he was playing around elite talent at Ohio State. First-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round receiver, first-round offensive lineman, first-round offensive lineman. Like, that is something that concerns me as well. And then the last thing that concerns me about C.J. Stroud is how he was at handling pressure. He didn't see a whole lot of pressure at Ohio State. Whenever there was muddy pockets, when he got blitzed, whenever he got pressured and didn't have tons of time to throw the ball, the numbers would tell you that he was not very good. Most throws in the NFL are from a muddy pocket with pressure. So that is something that concerns me with Stroud. Can Stroud prove me wrong in that area in the NFL? Yeah. Could the S2 be a mystery and a bluff and it doesn't really matter? Yeah. Could C.J. Stroud have been elevating the talent around him around Ohio State? Yeah, he could be those things. I think Stroud has a chance. I don't love the pick at 2, but I could have lived quarterback at 2. I could have lived Will Anderson at 2. What really bothered me last night, and Valencia's last night was amazing. Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage was outstanding. It was wall-to-wall people. It was so much fun. Look, I didn't love what happened, but to see the excitement of the room was awesome. Like, it was an awesome time yesterday at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. It was cool to see excitement back in the faces of Houston Texans fans. It was great. I didn't know what the pick was. Like, I was asking everybody, have y'all seen who the pick was? Have you seen which pick it is? Is it the Texans pick? Is it the Browns pick? Like, has anybody seen anything? And no one had. And then finally, whenever Jeremy Fowler was the first one that I saw it, that said it's the Houston Texans, that's when I was devastated about the trade. Because I think that this isn't really a think. Like, if you go look at the draft value charts and things like that, the Houston Texans got fleeced. The Houston Texans got one pulled over on them. Can Will Anderson being a great football player change this whole narrative? Yes, it absolutely can. Can C.J. Stroud being a great football player change this narrative? Yes, it absolutely can. But this trade will always be judged if Stroud and Anderson are better than what you could have gotten at 12, 33, and next year's first.
I think that there's a lot of different things going through my mind on this, too, because I think that everybody's misconception is, you know, 2 and 3. Well, they did what they did because they knew they were going to have both picks. So it didn't matter if you did Will Anderson first or you did C.J. Stroud first. And I would have been fine with either one of those guys by themselves. I also, like I said, would have been fine with the trade if it didn't involve the trade that I find to be far more valuable, whether you use it, trade it, whatever you do with it. The Texans pick, I think, is more valuable than the Browns pick. That's my personal opinion. But I agree with you. Like, I was all for it. I was like, whoa, this is big. And I kept doing the same thing by actually tweeting it out and asking. I wasn't at Valencia's. I was at home tweeting it out going, anybody seen? That's got to be the Browns pick, right? That's got to be the Browns pick. Mm-hmm. And I saw Field Yates is the first one that I saw that he put it out there. And I went, oh, bleep. They gave up that pick? And then immediately I switched because I was like, I just find too much value in that. And okay, so you got your quarterback. So everybody's saying, well, you don't need Caleb or you don't need Drake May. But to Joe's point, even if you turn out to have the next Khalil Mack in Anderson, but you're still wondering what you have in your quarterback, or even if you're not wondering what you have in your quarterback, you could have Marvin Harrison Jr. potentially, who your quarterback played with in college and they excelled together, and you could add him to your roster. Or you could trade one of the two picks that could be worth a quarterback in the top five and get a boatload of picks that could make the rest of your roster better. That's why I'm so concerned with giving up that pick.
Yeah, my only thing with that, I'll just push back about the next year pick, really, is that it always feels, next year always feels better. Like, it's always next year. And I get it. Like, there are two quarterbacks, and there's Marvin Harrison. There's the left tackle from Notre Dame. Like, that's probably your top five. It's supposed to be good. But last year, as soon as the draft is over, Mel Kiper goes on TV, writes an article. If Will Anderson was in the 2022 draft, he would have been the first selection over Walker and Hutchinson. It's like, people thought he was the first pick last year. People think he's the best pass rusher this year. It's like, he's a proven commodity in college in the eyes. Like, yeah, maybe he falls in a different draft. But that's, you know, everyone's got different opinions. I just think that, like, they going all in like this is worth the risk. And because you traded Deshaun Watson, because you have Cleveland's extra first next year, like, you still can get talented players. Like, it's not like 2018.
It doesn't mean you should be making stupid decisions.
Like, I don't think it is
a stupid
decision.
If you have extra picks, well, I do.
I kind of do, too.
Look, I understand we disagree, and I certainly respect your opinion. But just because, like, I don't like that because I have extra picks, it means I can be reckless with picks. Like, they still have value, whether you have a lot of them or a few of them. They still carry weight. They still have a certain amount of, you know, again, the draft chart. They have a certain amount of value. So to be reckless with picks just because you have a lot of them, I think is flawed logic, quite frankly.
I think
713-780-ESPN. Go ahead, Blinkers.
No, I was going to say real quick, the other thing is the misconception. Everybody says, well, you don't know. And in a year's time, we could be looking at this positively. Right, but what if you're not? What if you're in a year's time looking back at this like we did when Bill O'Brien did the Tunsil trade or Bill O'Brien did the D-Hop trade, and a year from now going, man, we gave up what? Like, you see, and then you see where they're picking, and then instead of having that, well, you know what, that's what we're not even thinking about it because the two players we got. What if you're not? What on the flip side, if you're looking at it going, damn, if we still had that pick, we could have had a first, 2 seconds, a third, this, that, a player, a starter. You don't know what you could have gotten, but it's easy to say in a year's time we may be looking back and thinking, not even thinking about what we gave up, but think about the flip side. In a year's time, you may be looking back with buyer's remorse going, what the hell did we do? It's just part of having to look at the whole picture, not just the one direction you want to look in.
Dre said there's a lot of what-ifs. There's a lot of what-ifs on drafting C.J. Stroud. There's what-ifs on Will Anderson. Like, everything that you do in the draft is a what-if. What if Will Anderson is this? What if Will Anderson is that? What if C.J. Stroud is this? Like, it's funny to me how the C.J. Stroud and the Will Andersons aren't part of the what-ifs. Future picks are part of the what-ifs, but who you currently picked are not part of the what-ifs. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. I'm also tired of letting the Texans off the hook. Like, what have the Texans done to deserve us letting them off the hook? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texans with the stunner of the draft. They picked two of the top three players in yesterday's first round. C.J. Stroud at number two, traded up to number three for Will Anderson, got fleeced in the process. You liking it? You digging it? You out on it. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Art, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Art?
Hey, guys, I called y'all yesterday. I told y'all the Texans had already texted it. But after they got Stroud, I was like, okay, maybe the Texans know what they're doing now. And then, boom, number three came up with that trade. And then I was like, oh, man, they just messed up. Like, right now we could be happy. Hey, we got Stroud and we got, you know, Tyree or Van Ness or whoever you want to add on the D-line and excited about who they're going to get at 33 today. Instead, it's half and half. Right, half excited, half like, whoa, oh shit, where did we just step in? So it's...
You kind of stepped in it right there, Art, but appreciate the call. I mean, Joe, yeah, nice catch.
Feeling,
but,
hey,
yeah, he's
passionate. I understand that we're feeling that kind of way. Yeah. I understand we're feeling that kind of way.
I haven't seen Joe move that fast in quite a while.
He's still got the quickness. It hasn't eluded him. Appreciate the call, Art. Don't appreciate you cussing on the airwaves, although that was kind of funny. Maybe not. Joe probably didn't think so. The thing that I find interesting is, like, I feel like we let the Texans off the hook in this city, Blankers. Whenever they hired Lovie Smith, like, we were the ones telling you the next day that the Houston Texans literally just hired somebody that no one else in the NFL would have, that hasn't had a winning season since way back when Joe George was a preteen in Chicago. That's how long it had been, and people were celebrating the next day. People were saying he won the press conference. Like, they were planning the parade with Lovie Smith. Like, oh, yay, they upgraded over David Culley. It's like the – and look, I understand yesterday was a splash. I'm not trying to diminish that. But we react in this city like the Texans have earned our respect and the benefit of the doubt. The Houston Texans have done nothing to earn the benefit of the doubt from us and its fans. The Texans have done nothing where we should be letting them off the hook for getting fleeced in a trade, even if it was for a popular player, even if it was for a player that people want, even if it's for a player that's going to be pretty good. We should not be letting Nick Caserio and Cal McNair and even D'Amico Ryans now for being fleeced and having to pay a quarterback's ransom for a defensive end. They've done nothing to earn that respect or that benefit of the doubt.
I mean, here's the other thing too, Jeremy. I think that you understand how much football is king because that's why they do it. They're so desperate to have this team relevant again. They love football so much that they long for the days of winning division titles in one playoff game, but being relevant again. And so when moves like this are made positively or negatively, it's easy to look past the negatives of what could be and stay hopeful about the fact that they're trying to do things to make you relevant again. And that's very perplexing to me because you still have to be rational with, like, the move last night or any of the Bill O'Brien trades. You're rational in hoping that it works out for your side. But you also have to be realistic in looking at it and saying what you gave up, what you lost in the deal, what your side of it was, might not have been the best thing with the best interest of your franchise in mind. And that's okay because that's what sports is. You're fanatical. You're a fan. But be realistic. Like, I don't see, like, someone coming in and sprinkling pixie dust on the draft last night because of the trade and saying, suddenly you're a 6 or 7 win team. Ifs, buts, candies, nuts to the other caller a while back that said, well, look, there were a couple games that they would have, could have, and should have won, but they didn't. Okay?
Yeah, and that's the NFL, too. Like, yeah. The NFL margin of victory is very, very low. It's the nature of the beast in the National Football League.
Yeah, so the thing is, I'm just trying to be realistic from my approach. I'm not going to force feed you BS that I don't believe. But right. I told you exactly how I went through this process. When I first heard the trade, I was like, whoa, this is pretty big. Then when I heard the details, I'm like, please don't let it be the Texans' own first-round pick. Then when it was, I reacted. If you want someone to force-feed you sunshine and rainbows, you know which highway to get on. But if you want honesty at its finest just by giving you raw emotion, this is what you're getting. You may not always like it, but that's why your opinions are welcome, too, and we can discuss it. Because I hope I'm wrong. That's how much I want this to work out for this franchise. That's how much I want them to be good again. But at the same time, I got to tell you and call it like I see it. And what I see is I think they gave up way too much.
Yeah, they got fleeced. Flimsy saying we cannot let this team be good and have fun. Let's be negative. Look, we want the Houston Texans to be good.
Absolutely.
We're hoping that we're wrong. But we're paid to give an opinion and our honest opinion. Like, that's one thing that I hang my hat on that we do on this show, is that we're going to be very honest with what we think. We're going to be brutally honest, and we're not going to pander to, like, the popular opinion. Like, some personalities in this city were doing yesterday that have been hating the Texans for years, and then all of a sudden they're back on board because it's cool again. Look, I'm not interested in being cool. I've never been cool a day in my life. I'm not interested in being popular. I've never been interested in being popular. I'm going to give you what I think, and you can rip it apart. You can tear it to shreds. I'll be wrong half the time, but I'm giving you my true, authentic feeling in the moment. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line and get Troy in here. Troy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I don't think there's any Texans fans that are listening to your show today that are disagreeing with you. And I'm like everybody else. I was hooting and hollering and high-fiving at our party last night when they when they got the number three, but then you find out what they had to do to get it. It was like they better have got this really, really right, or this is going to go really, really wrong next year when you're needing that pick. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
I love Troy, and I appreciate him, but I don't think Troy sees what we see, and because there's not a whole lot of people. I think that it's split on people that agree with us or disagree with us.
Oh, I don't think it's split. I think it's like
75-25?
Yeah, it's probably around 75-25. I think that 75% of people disagree with us right now.
I mean, maybe it's that close. I mean, last night on Twitter, it was pretty much split down the middle for me. But
okay,
I think that, again, a lot of us were 75-25 in favor of the deal until we saw the elements involved. I think that I care enough to tell you that I think that there's so much value in what they gave up, and because they had so far to go from a roster construct that I had concerns. But I also love the fact that they were aggressive. They were trying to do something. But then it also gets to the core question of why did they feel necessary to do this much? Why were they possibly dealing with a scenario that we brought up on this show in the last week? Why would that be a roadblock or a challenge or put you in a vulnerable position to have to do too much and give up too much when you're still in the fetal stages of a rebuild? Those are the things that then started rattling my cage too, because I'm going, there's something, they've been doing such a great job of sticking to the plan until they didn't. And that's what concerned me last night.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. JC, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, JC?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm split just like you guys. I love the aggression. I love the fact that they did something. I love the fact that they went and they said, okay, these are our guys and we're going to go get them. The price they gave up, yeah, that's questionable, because I also look back at what San Fran gave up to move up to the same spot and get Trey Lance, and look at how they're faring with that now. Trey Lance stays injured, and they're possibly not even going to have him on the roster maybe next year. So it's all a crapshoot, but at the same time, I love the fact that they did something.
I think
appreciate the call, JC.
I
admire the aggression too, Blankers.
Yeah, but sorry, Jeremy. I was just going to say, I like the analogy with San Francisco. The only difference is San Francisco's roster, other than quarterback, was completely loaded, and the Texans aren't. So that draft capital that you give up has a lot more valuable to a depleted roster than it does a possible Super Bowl caliber roster minus a quarterback.
That was also a quarterback. Like, that's the other part of this. Like, that's part of my contention with the trade, is like, you usually overspend a lot for what position? The quarterback. And I'm not diminishing the value of a defensive end, but no other position in the NFL is akin to the quarterback position. It's just the way it is. Look at the contracts around the league. See who makes the most. Look at trades around the league. See which trades lead to the most. Like, the 49ers traded up to get Trey Lance, and yes, Trey Lance was abysmal, or has been abysmal. We still have no idea who Trey Lance is because he can't stay on the football field. But that was for a quarterback. And yeah, to your point, they were maybe a quarterback away. The Texans did it for a defensive end. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Back out there for Keith. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Keith.
Hello, Keith.
On our team.
Go ahead, start over.
Hello, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, guys. On our team, we always start every meeting with, tell me something good. So I'm going to ask you to do that. Tell me something good from last night, because Jeremy, I listened to the broadcast online last night, and Goodell didn't even have Stroud's name out of his mouth before you were already poo-pooing on it. So tell me something good, and then tell me something that you foresee happening tonight in a positive way. Yeah, have a good one.
Okay, I'll tell you the first thing I hope is a positive tonight. I hope they get a center. I hope they get a tight end. I hope they get a wide receiver. I hope they, you know, they're as aggressive, but also
they can't get all three anymore.
No, I understand. Well, they could if they make another trade or two. But I don't know that they need to make any more deals. But I hope that they continue to add to this roster. I hope they fill positions of need. I hope they get quality football players. I know that center is a very, very glaring need for this team. And I think that, you know, tonight's going to be a big indication of if they can get one out of this draft that would be vitally important to them. I think that we know that you got Dalton Schultz for a year, but if you want a long-term answer at tight end, there's still a couple good ones that are sitting there that might be available in the next two rounds. So, look, I think that I've given Nick his flowers in the past for the way he's handled the draft and some of the diamonds in the rough he's found and some of the lower picks that have turned out to be good ones. I hope he's able to do those kind of things so that, at least for me, I can ease some of the pain of what I felt last night watching that trade go down.
I'll give you the my good on the other side. I can't be happy in the noon hour. And I'll also say the best thing that could happen tonight for the Houston Texans as well. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Keith trying to bring some levity to the Killer Bees. How dare you, Keith? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.